Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back to this morning's, Monday morning's Turley Frequency with me, your host, Kevin Turley, coming to you live and exclusive here on Archangel Radio. Well, wasn't that a fascinating discussion? I think we only started it, though, and thank you to Dr. Amal for phoning in. She's a regular contributor to this show in all sorts of ways, but she's also a very, very high-powered linguist. She teaches Arabic and ancient languages at Cambridge University over here in England. So she really knows what she's talking about and has lots and lots of knowledge about that and its relationship to scripture. So I think poor Ralph, thank you, Ralph, for coming on. I think poor Ralph got more than he bargained for in the end, because that was like going into the ring with a heavyweight world champion when it comes to this arena. But still, it's interesting. Always remember, though, we Catholics, we read the Old Testament in light of the New Testament. And we're not reading it as an archaeologist reads it. We're not even reading it as a historian reads it. We're reading it as a Catholic Christian reads it. And therefore, we're looking for Christ in those events of the ancient world, which are detailed in the Old Testament. So for us, the Exodus from Egypt is not just a historical event and something which we're living in a sense still here during this Lent. It is, of course, a prefigurement, if you like, of our Lord coming and leading us from the world of sin to the promised land, which the church fathers were very good at using these and all sorts of analogical levels, but also the idea of the Passover and the Lamb, which we think about dearly during the coming Triduum, the Easter Triduum, and we think about Holy Week, and we think about the Paschal Lamb and all of that. So it's not just about history, it's also about theology, and it's also about our understanding of revelation, which is revealed in the sacred text of the Bible. That's, I'm afraid, why we're Christians. It's not just a matter of history and choice. Now, talking of history and choice, today we're going to choose to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. We are going to come together as a praying family here on this radio station. And we're going to pray for you. If you're listening to us, you're included in the prayers. But if you've got anything specific you'd like us to pray for, then feel free to text me on 251-928-2111 or phone in and give us your prayer requests on 888-928-0881. And as always, each day I'm accompanied by a prayer warrior on this section, because we are battling against all those forces that would drag us down, that would discourage us, make us discontent. Instead, we're asking the Lord, the Divine Mercy, to come into these situations and to give us some sort of hope that the Lord can change people's hearts as well as situations. So, Reid, who do we have as our prayer warrior today?
On the phone with us today, Kevin, is Mr. Joe Roskowski.
Joe, welcome to the Turley Frequency.
Good morning, Kevin. Glad to be here. Thank you.
You are a frequent visitor to these parts, not least because you are president of Archangel Radio. Isn't that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Wonderful.
Very thankful.
And we've talked about this before on the show, Joe. You're one of the original catalysts for the whole Archangel Radio enterprise, which we are so grateful for, that this station exists and that its media apostolate continues today, these years after you and others began this enterprise.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Lots of prayers, a lot of hard work, lots of prayers for our generous benefactors and folks who have helped over the years make this come to fruition.
I don't know, Joe, if you heard the interview we did last week with Father Rocky, who started something similar up in Wisconsin with Relevant Radio.
I sure did. Listened to it twice. You guys really hit it off. It was a wonderful interview.
Well,
and thank you.
Well, what do you, what he was saying, Joe, was very reminiscent of what you had said a few weeks prior to that, that it was about prayer, it was about hard work, and it was about commitment, right?
Yes, sir. It really is. And it's it is hard work. It's lots of prayer. And actually, I have would like to pray one of the decades for special intention for Archangel Radio.
We shall do that, Joe. But just hang on there, because I'm going to give the numbers out one more time and invite people to pray with us. But we'll definitely pray. Every time you come on, I think it's a given that we're going to be praying for Archangel Radio. But yeah, his words were very reminiscent of your words, as I say, a few weeks before, which any good enterprise is going to take a lot of heavenly help through prayer and people's prayers. But there's a lot of earthly sweat extolled in these ventures as well. People have to really step up to the mark, and you and many others did so many years ago, and we see the fruit of it today in Archangel Radio in all its manifestations.
Yeah, he this morning Mike had a take a part of that interview, I believe, and he said that it's one of the best mediums, because you can listen to it in the theater of your mind. It's not, you don't have to let show people that you're listening, or it's very private. It's probably one of the best ways to personally evangelize people is radio.
And that
makes so much sense. Yes.
Couldn't agree more. You probably realize, Joe, that there is somebody listening to us today now at this moment who has never thought about becoming a Catholic, who is intrigued by us Catholics, and is quietly listening in a car or at home or walking along with a headset, and they're just cautiously dipping their toe in. As you say, nobody needs to know, and yet they're here speaking to, or we're speaking to them, they're listening to us. And that's the beauty of what this radio apostolate is. I go a bit further, actually, and Father Rocky, I thought, was a little bit, because there's one story which came out during one of the pledge drives, which very quickly at Relevant Radio. A man was driving over a bridge somewhere in the southern states, and he was going to kill himself. He was going to crash his truck into the waters because his marriage was going down the drains, his financial situation was off kilter. He saw no hope, and he was stuck in traffic about to get onto this bridge, Joe. And he tuned to Relevant Radio. And cut a long story short, many years later, or a year or so later, he went to Relevant Radio studio with his wife and his family and said, "Not only did you save a soul, you saved my life."
Wow. Oh my
gosh. You never know who's listening, Joe, as Father Rocky said, and that's part of the joy of it. The Holy Spirit will do his bit. We just got to show up for our shift. So, Joe, listen, we better get going, otherwise I'll get signals that we're way behind already. So, listen, Joe and I are going to say the Divine Mercy Chaplet together, and we're delighted to do so, and we want you to be part of this. So, come on, feel free to text in 251-928-2111. What have you got to lose, and what might you gain? You never know. The Lord is good. Okay, let's begin as we always do, Joe, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. And then we say together, Joe, O blood and water,
which gushed forth
from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Joe. Okay, first decade, over to you, Joe. Who or what would you like us to pray for?
I'd like to pray for a special intention for Archangel Radio, for its continued success, for our listeners, and for our generous benefactors who give their time, talent, and treasure the success of Archangel Radio.
That is a wonderful intention, one I wholeheartedly concur with, as you can imagine, Joe. So let's lift this up, and let's lift up everybody who's involved with Archangel Radio, everybody who works here, everybody who is on the board, everybody who has donated at any time, and of course, everybody who has listened at any time. God is outside time and space, so he knows who they all are. This is praying for you, but it's also praying for the effectiveness of Archangel Radio. At the start of each show, sometimes producers and myself, we get together and we say a quick prayer. And the prayer is this, that one soul, just one soul, will be touched by this transmission. We don't know how and we don't know in which way. That's up to God. But we pray that at least one soul is touched by this to move closer and to come closer to our Lord and Savior. So let's say this first decade for all involved in this enterprise. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us, world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Joe. Now, while we've been on air, Joe, we've had a text in from Chuck. Chuck, thank you so much for getting in touch with the show. And Chuck is asking for prayers for his brother Jim, who is undergoing surgery this very afternoon. Chuck, we are delighted to pray for Jim and indeed for you. But we would ask that you let Jim, if possible, know that he is being prayed for right at this moment. And we're praying that the surgeons, medical team will do a wonderful job on whatever Jim's need is, and that the divine physician will be guiding their hands and their eyes and their expertise to bring Jim back to health in whatever way the Lord pleases. And one last request, Chuck, let us know how Jim gets on. We're hoping that tomorrow or later today you'll be able to tell us that Jim, all went well, and Jim is making a speedy recovery. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Joe. Now, I've had a request in from Dr. Amal, who you may just have heard. She was on the show just calling in, helping us with Ralph earlier. And Dr. Amal, as you know, listens in Belgium, and she's written to us about, tragically, about two 14-year-olds. One who had cancer and has already died, and another who is undergoing an operation tomorrow. And she asked for prayers for Gloria, who lost her only son, Danny, to cancer. He was 14. And tomorrow, the other 14-year-old patient with cancer is called Tony, and he will be having an operation. And she's asking for prayers for Tony tomorrow. Amal, if you're listening, we're delighted to pray for Tony for the operation tomorrow, that all goes well and that the cancer is dealt with by the surgeons. And yes, this prayer is a wonderful prayer for the dead, the dying, and the bereaved. And therefore, we pray for the soul of Danny. May he rest in peace. And we also pray for his mother, Gloria, at this time. And may the Prince of Peace support her and help her through this very, very difficult time in her life. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Joe. I mean, it's absolutely heartbreaking to read those texts, isn't it, about such young people succumbing to cancer?
Yes, it is. I have three people that I'd like to pray for, if it's okay with this next decade.
Let's do it, Joe.
I'd meet with two of my Crisio friends. We're actually going on silent retreat Thursday over in Manresa, and but Charles wanted me to pray for three friends of his: Dale, who has a tumor with aggressive, and has it's an aggressive bladder cancer, and also for Dr. Joe, who has leukemia, and for Marie, who has cancer, and they've pretty much done all that they can for her. It's my understanding that she'll soon be on hospice. So we pray for these folks, for Charles' intentions, good friends of his, and Charles is a good friend of mine.
Absolutely, Joe. We'll pray for those three. So for Dale, for Dr. Joe, and for Maria, we offer this decade, and we pray that the Lord's will be done in their lives, and they will be comforted and helped at this time. We also pray for Charles. He's obviously a good friend. Joe, we'll pray for him as well, whatever his needs are in this decade.
Yes.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Joe. So believe it or not, Joe, we have come to the last decade. It goes so quickly, this, doesn't it? Or is it just me?
Yeah, it does. No, it does. It really does.
It really flies by. So listen, Joe, president of Archangel Radio, got to give you another decade. You know, it's the very least we can do as a way of thanking you for all that you do for us. So, Joe, this one's yours. Let's. I'm sure you've got plenty of intentions and plenty of people still you would like us to pray for.
Last time I was on a few weeks ago, I was praying for Sherry and Shannon, who are heading back up to Montgomery right now to pick up the Eucharistic Miracles exhibit, which Archangel are stewards of. And the exhibit traveled to 3 parishes during Lent in Montgomery, so I pray for their safe return and the continued devotion to the Eucharist and to the exhibit that we're able to be able to bring to different folks. I also like to pray again for Archangel Radio, our generous benefactors, for the continuation and success of the station. We can't do it without folks and without help. Also like to pray for a very good friend of mine, Jean Franz, who has diabetes, and she's suffering some complications with that. Jean and Norm were early and continuing contributors to Archangel Radio. Very good friend of mine. I was on a couple different boards with Jean, and I just love her so much, and I want to continue to pray for her and her health.
I think that's beautiful, Joe. So, Jean, if you're listening, and Norm, we're praying for you, especially at this time. Jean, we hope that the diabetes is controlled by the medical team and that you're able to enjoy Archangel Radio as much as we enjoy having you as part of the family. Yes, we'll pray for all the benefactors. If you don't mind, Joe, I'm going to extend that and pray for the future benefactors as well, for all those people in the coming weeks, maybe just before Easter, who will suddenly think, wow, I really want to contribute to this. And if you're listening to this and you think this is great, well, help us. Help us to continue to keep the show on the road. And yes, absolutely. Sherry and Shannon, if you're listening to us while traveling to Montgomery, Joe has very kindly put you into the prayer again, and we're only too delighted to pray for your safe trip there and back. And maybe, Joe, we can extend this out. There's a Eucharistic revival taking place across the United States. Let's pray for that, especially in the Mobile, Fairhope, Lower Alabama area, that the Eucharist will be as more appreciated than ever in parish after parish, and that people will start to understand the treasure that exists in every single humble Catholic church.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you so much. So true. I'd like to put in one more thing. I would like to pray in Thanksgiving for my wife, Mary Lou, being so patient.
Listen, on this slightly amended Feast of St. Joseph, spouse of our Blessed Mother, I think we should pray for all our wives for being so patient, because that's one of the joys of being a wife, I think, learning patience with your husband. So yes, Mary Lou, if you're listening, we're praying for you, but we're praying for all the wives across Lower Alabama and anywhere else you're listening. And may St. Joseph guard and protect all Christian homes and all Christian marriages on this day.
Thank you.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And then we conclude it together, Joe. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy and itself. Amen. And we say together, Joe, O my Jesus, I trust in thee. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joe, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to pray with us here on Archangel Radio.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for being here.
And thank you again for all you do as president of Archangel Radio. And I pray that you will be doing it for many more years and see much more fruit in the coming weeks, months, and years.
Thank you very much, Kevin. And happy St. Joseph's Day.
Absolutely. Happy St. Joseph's Day. Thank you, Joe. And a happy feast day for you, of course, Joe. I forgot. Happy St. Joseph's, especially for all the Josephs listening, especially the president of Archangel Radio. When we come back, we are going to be doing a little bit of a Lenten tune-up. Yeah, I know. I don't know about you, but we're into the fourth week of Lent, and it's time to get our act together. So we've got Father Timothy Vavarak coming on, and he's going to be helping us in that journey to Easter. So stay tuned to the Charlie Frequency. Here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. Now, you know, we've passed the halfway point in our Lenten pilgrimage. Did you realize that? We're half roads there at least. And I don't know about you, but I could do with a little bit of help in sort of getting it together again. Do you remember Ash Wednesday? We all started with that sort of deep intention to change our lives, to rectify all those problems that we had, to really set out on this Lenten pilgrimage with great hope and great fervor. Well, I don't know about you. I've sort of ran out a bit of steam along the way now. It's not so much about changing my life as changing my socks sometimes, you know. I mean, it's I'm joking. So our next guest is hopefully going to help us to sort of get back into it. We all need coaches. We all need trainers to help us to get to where we need to get to. And my next guest is Father Timothy Vavarak. He is a priest of the Diocese of Austin, serving as a pastor for the Assumption Parish in the city of West. Now, after graduating with a degree in physics from Texas State University,
He went on to train for the priesthood at the Gregorian University in Rome, where he was ordained in 1985. Subsequently, he received a doctorate from the Angelicum in Rome. That's another great university, in 1996. His studies focused on ecclesiology, apostolic ministry, Cardinal John Henry Newman, as he was then, now Saint John Henry Newman, and ecumenism. But last year, Emmaus Road Publishing published his latest work, which is called As I Have Loved You, Rediscovering Our Salvation in Christ. And I'm just going to give you a little review I came across from no less than Professor John Bergsma, who many of you will know is Professor of Theology at the Franciscan University of Steubenville, as well as very much involved in the St. Paul's Center for Biblical Theology. And you can often hear him with Scott Hahn on various podcasts, etc. Anyway, this is what Professor Bergsma said. Too often the gospel has been presented in Western culture in legal metaphors, as if we were defendants seeking acquittal in the heavenly court from the divine judge. Father Vavrick represents the gospel in familial terms, as persons entering into a loving relationships, as relatives, even as spouses. Simultaneously beautiful, illuminating, and instructive, As I Have Loved You is much needed reading for clergy and laity alike. Father Timothy joins me down the line from his home in Texas. Father Timothy, welcome to the Turley Frequency.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Now, Father Timothy, rather than other people telling us what this book's about, tell me why you wrote this book.
Well, I have, despite my academic credentials, I've spent my life in pastor ministry, and so my vision of the gospel and the needs of the day are based on my parish work, and my impression has been over the years, personally and in terms of my people, that we've lost sight of the deep meaning of the covenant that God has established for us in Jesus, that too often it's been interpreted, why did Jesus die? Jesus died to save us from our sins. That while being certainly true and of infinite value to us, that isn't the heart of the gospel. The heart of the gospel is, as Jesus said, that he must be lifted up to draw everyone to himself. The heart of the gospel is that we have, in Jesus, been united to God and come to share his life. And that's what our focus needs to be on. We need to certainly be aware and deal with the reality of sin. But it is a life of shared union with Jesus and sharing in his work that is really the heart of what we should be about as Christians.
So let's try and break this down a little bit, Father Timothy, especially in light of Lent. As I was saying at the start, we're half roads through Lent. Many of us are still trying to remember what our intentions were at the start of Lent. In some ways, though, what you're just saying could be crystallized during this period, because in the sense that many people think that it's a period of renunciation, a period of giving up things, a period of doing without this or that, whatever, when in fact, correct me if I'm wrong, the whole point of Lent is to draw us closer to Christ, that these other things are just merely the incidentals by which we draw closer to Christ. So hopefully by Easter, we have deepened in our knowledge and our love of our Savior. And in a sense, from what you're saying, that's what the basic tenet of your book is, that the Christian journey is one of a deepening love for our Savior, no?
Yes, that's true. But it's not that it's not the case that a prayer, self-sacrifice, and works of mercy are incidentals. They are essential to this journeying into the heart and the mind of Jesus. But we tend to misconstrue them. We misunderstand them because we have a framework that's a forensic or legal framework, which we tend to sometimes be checking boxes.
That's right.
The reality is that Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 6 lays out the path of metanoia, the path of conversion, the path of the Christian life. And it is, as he says, prayer, fasting or self-sacrifice, and almsgiving or works of mercy. If we understand these as deepening our relationship and our union with Jesus, or indeed with God in Christ, we begin to see that these aren't our works. These are the good works that, as Paul says, God has prepared for us. Through our prayer, God's life and his love, him dwelling within us, he is turning us in heart and mind to himself through prayer. Through self-sacrifice, he's at work in us, turning us away from our selfishness and our sins. And through the works of mercy, he is within us, turning our hearts toward others to show them the generosity, the wisdom and love, the life that he has shown us. So these things aren't things we're trying to do to show how tough we can be and how hard we can be on ourselves. They are ways that we're trying to yield more and more to the direction that God is moving us in from inside of us because of our union with Jesus. We're trying to cooperate with God through our prayer, our self-sacrifice, and works of mercy. That's the goal anyway.
Kevin, I believe your mic is muted.
Sorry. You're listening to the voice of Father Timothy Vavrick, who is the author of As I Have Loved You, Rediscovering Our Salvation in Christ. Father Timothy, there may be somebody listening who says, well, this is interesting, but what practical application does it have to my life, and in particular my Lent? How would you respond to that question?
How is it possible that God can be dwelling in us and it not be of practical implication to us? Right? Do we actually see ourselves as not just someone who's trying to act like Jesus would act, but as someone in whom Christ is present and working in us, so that we're sharing in Jesus's work of the life and the redemption of the world, so that everything that we do is aside from sin, is being done in him. This is God working in us. If we understood that, what hope we would have, what courage we would take, what consolation and comfort we could give to the people around us, how more conscientious we would be if we were aware that we were sharing in Jesus' life and in his work. We would pay attention to what we're doing. We would give ourselves more freely to the people around us and to the duties that we have each day. We wouldn't just see them in human terms as maybe a cause for joy today, but a cause for worry tomorrow. We would see them always as an opportunity to share life more deeply with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. In terms of your writing of this, Father Timothy, I mean, who were the classic authors that would have been on this track? You know, who are your primary sources when it comes to your thesis?
My thesis is that we're in trouble. The presentation I give on the nature of our Christian life isn't a thesis. It's the gospel, and it's attested to by, in point of fact, all the saints. But one can look at to really crystallize it. One can look at Teresa of Lisieux or her foundation in Saint Francis de Sales. That's what is needed in our life is not that we add this or that or the other thing to our life, but that we do all things in union with Jesus, and we do them with great love. Mm-hmm. The work draws a fair bit on John Paul II's understanding of the human person and our capacity to give ourselves to one another and to receive each other and to be united in that way. It draws somewhat on Newman. And certainly Aquinas and Augustine. But the book itself isn't filled with footnotes to those sources, although it acknowledges them in the beginning of the book. It's filled with biblical citations, because this is the biblical story of God from all eternity deciding to create us and more wondrously even than create us, to draw us to share in his life and in his work of, in the work of creation and the work of salvation. That's the broad vision. A vision that was very common up until the maybe year 1000 or something like that.
Yeah, I'm just listening to you thinking that, yeah, I mean, this is obviously very basic Christian, you know, exposition, but why do you think now is the moment to represent this to people, to re-engage with people? I mean, why do you think the modern Christian, the modern Catholic, in some senses, I'm speaking very generally here, but in some senses has lost that idea, and we've ended up, as you say, with a legalistic framework in most of our minds? How did that come about, and why does it persist?
Well, that's a long tale in the telling, but roughly speaking, some point toward the end of the Middle Ages, we began to narrow our understanding of justice in legal terms, where, as in the beginning, justice is a much broader concept, and this got us into a framework of presenting the gospel as a just and righteous God who has been offended by our sins, and now the payment must be made for them, which doesn't really correspond to God as he depicts himself throughout the scriptures. This is not God's motivation. For God, his justice isn't giving people what he owes them, what they're due. This is, he has no obligation to do that. His justice, rather, is the justice by which he generously, wisely, and lovingly provides what is needed for mankind, and what is needed for sinners. What's needed is the revelation of their sin, their acknowledgement of that sin, their making amends as they can for that sin, all so they can be reconciled to God and to one another. And this is what God is doing. If we saw a legalistic framework was a part of what culture had become. Our culture long ago now ceased to be legalistic. Well, long ago, certainly a lifetime ago at least. And so that framework, which was always inadequate, doesn't even work anymore. It doesn't have anything that appeals to how people view things. In fact, we live in a non-legalistic and anti-legal world in which to talk that way doesn't make any headway with people. Because the motive for Christianity has to be the love of God, love of God in Christ. And that has not been the central focus of our pastoral efforts. Even since the council, what Episcopal conferences, certainly not in the United States, have ever issued, among their many pastoral letters, how many have issued a pastoral letter on the spiritual life? In the prayers of the faithful on Sunday, when we pray for all these important things, how often do we hear a prayer for ourselves and all sinners, for our conversion, our deepening union and love with Jesus? How often do we hear prayers for the conversion of the world? Not to simply save them from hell, but they might come to know and love Jesus. We don't hear these things. That's the heart of the crisis we're in. We're not actually preaching the gospel if we're not preaching the call to conversion, to metanoia, that leads us into the heart and mind of Jesus. We're preaching something else. And that's why it's not working for us. And that's why people are confused. Because we don't have our identity. We've lost the clarity of who Jesus is and what life he's calling us to.
And I guess in a sense, Father Timothy, what you're almost talking about is what certainly the Second Vatican Council was talking about, which is return to sort of the evangelical essence of the gospel, that it's a preaching of, as you say, metanoia, conversion of oneself and the world around us, and a universal call to holiness. It's not a universal call to legalism or the opposite, which is it doesn't really matter, but one that is holiness, righteousness before God. Is that, I mean, have you been influenced by the writings of the Second Vatican Council, the universal call to holiness in writing this book?
Of course. I mean, I was born in 1960. I'm influenced by the council. Not necessarily the implementation of the council, but the council itself. The first document they wrote was on the liturgy. Why was that? They tell us in the opening paragraphs, because it's necessary. It's necessary for the Christian faithful
to come to participate more fully in Jesus, in his life. Full yeah. conscious and active participation is not getting our parts right and saying the right words during the Mass.
That's
full
right.
conscious and active participation in Jesus is sharing in his life and saving ministry. And we got sidelined on questions of what language to use, what kind of music styles we wanted, what the architectures were, what was going to be like, all of which have an important place. But they only can be, judgment can be made about them based first on what is it we're doing here. And mm-hmm. what we're doing at Mass is what we're doing in our life. It is being united to Jesus in his saving love, his sacrificial love, every moment of our life. And that is the part that we have forgotten and have not catechized on. And so you're not going to get anything else right if you don't get that right, because that is the heart of the gospel.
Amen. Father Timothy, there's some questions coming through to me on text here, and they're all basically asking the same thing, which is how do people in the pew, how do in everyday life, how do they live this? Where would you begin? So rather than a general, think about this Lent and think about where we are. We're half roads through Lent. We're 3 weeks or so from Easter. Somebody's in your parish. Somebody comes to you and says, Father Timothy, I hear what you're saying. I get it. I get it totally, but how can I incarnate that into my spiritual life in these 3 weeks in the run-up to Easter? What would you say?
Well, I would say you could do a very solid foundation would be every day to do a meditation on one of the mysteries of the Rosary. Mm-hmm. Because the mysteries of the Rosary take us through the life of Jesus and his saving work. You don't have to do a whole rosary every day. Do one of the mysteries every day. You can do that by reading scripture passages that are associated with that. You can do that through actually praying a decade of the rosary. But the point here isn't to get through the 10 Hail Marys. The point is to consider the reality of the person of Jesus in that particular mystery. What he is experiencing, what is happening around him, who he is, and then what he has to say to us. Because that kind of prayer puts our mind and heart on the person of Jesus, and that creates an environment in which he becomes more real to us, and we are then more open to what he might have to say to us or what he might want to show to us in our prayer. So I think daily prayer is key. And a mystery of the rosary each day would be a good way to get that done. Other thing I would do is I would certainly get to confession between now and Easter. I would encourage people, if they're able, to stop by a church in order to take a half an hour in prayer, one day a week, something like that. If there's people in your life you're having trouble with, then deal with them between now and Lent. Reach out to the people you're having trouble with. If there's a task that needs to be done, be it at work or at home, that you've been procrastinating about, do it. That's a simple, direct way of being service to God in the circumstances of your life.
Those and I guess, some, I mean, thought. All of that, absolutely. But, I mean, I suppose the thrust of this, Father Timothy, is do it with Christ. Do it through Christ. You know, let him work through you.
Yeah. Do it with and in Jesus. And offer it to him that day. I mean, there is something, if one is not in the habit of doing this, establish the habit of beginning the day by giving thanks to God and offering the day back to him as a sacrifice, as an offering, as a gift of love, and asking him to help us to face the day and the people and the circumstances with Jesus and in Jesus. And that way, at the end of the day, we can look back on the day in prayer and thank God for the good that we have done in the Lord, and also acknowledge our sorrow for any sins we committed. These are basic things, right? But it's like Cana in Galilee. It all comes down to this. Do whatever he tells you. And this is what he's told us to do. To be prayerful, to practice self-sacrifice and to do works of mercy. It's a matter of being aware that that's what we're called to on a daily basis, not just during Lent, that we begin then to see the opportunities that are right in front of our face, because it's the trouble we're dealing with, or it's the task at hand, or the person before us who's in need.
I mean, what you're also describing, Father Timothy, is what all the saints have talked about, which is that Christianity, our faith, is not belonging to a club or membership of X, Y, or Z. It's a radical transformation. It's becoming another Christ through our baptism, through our living out of our Christian vocation. And I guess, listening to you, this is a radical call for a conversion of heart in these, well, throughout one's life, but particularly at this time.
Yes. The original function of the Lenten season for the faithful has always been to draw back a bit from the activities of life in order to prepare ourselves to celebrate the events of our salvation at the Triduum, with Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. That's really the function. It's not to try to put us through some training exercise. It's to have us live more deeply the life we're supposed to be living all the time. So that when we come, so that one, we're centering our heart and mind back on the person of Jesus, so that we can in a righteous way celebrate the great things that he accomplished for us at the Triduum. But so then also afterwards, as we move into the Easter season, we can be living the life of Jesus in a more deeply and intentional way than first when we started at Ash Wednesday. Not so we can then go back to where we were on Mardi Gras, but we can move forward into the heart and into the mind of Jesus. This isn't glamorous, and people are always looking for shortcuts, the magic prayer or consecration that they can make that will make this all happen. But it happens by us daily living exactly as he asked us to live. There's no shortcut.
Wonderful. Listen, Father Timothy, I needed to hear this. I'm sure our audience needed to hear it as well, because we need this tune-up, as I say, midway through Lent. I wonder if you'd be willing to come back on a regular basis and keep urging us on to live this Lent and let the true message of our faith find a new expression through this Lent and beyond.
I'd be happy to help in any way you think I can.
Father Timothy, just am I pronouncing your surname correctly, Vavrick?
You are indeed.
That's fantastic.
That
I was
is
a bit
it.
Worried about that. Listen, Father Timothy, before you go, just tell people where they can find out where to purchase a copy of your latest book.
Well, you can get As I Have Loved You at Emmaus Road Publishing. So you can Google that. You can get it at bookstores. You can get it at Amazon. It's at this point yet. It's still readily available, I think. I don't think they've gone through the print run yet.
No, and they could probably get it at all the usual places that most people get books. Father Timothy, it's been really, really interesting chatting with you, and I look forward to further Lenten discussions with you as the good season rolls through.
God bless you. God bless your listeners, and God draw us all deeper into himself in Christ.
Amen. That was Father Timothy Vavrick, who is the author of As I Have Loved You, Rediscovering Our Salvation in Christ, which is available now through Emmaus Road Publishing.
Who do we have coming up tomorrow, Kevin?
Well, I'm glad you asked me, Reed. We have the one and the only Mr. Drew Mariani.
All right.
Hey. So for those of you that don't know, Drew is, I'd say he's probably a legend in Catholic talk radio and currently a host of the Drew Mariani Show over on Relevant Radio. So I'm sure he's got plenty to say for himself.
Excellent.
Listen, if you've enjoyed listening to us today, we've enjoyed your company even more. So let's do it all again. Same time, same frequency, same Turley. And until then, stay tuned to the only radio station broadcasting from the Bay of the Holy Spirit, which is Archangel Radio. So until tomorrow, may God bless you and keep you. And on this great feast day, may Saint Joseph watch over us all. Until tomorrow, God bless.